He has a fascinating personal story of growing up as an angry Palestinian youth in Jerusalem. Today, Aziz Abu Sarah is a National Geographic traveler and a global peace builder who's earned awards from the likes of the European Parliament and the United Nations for his work promoting understanding around the world. He co-founded a tour company that explores dueling perspectives in many of the world's conflict zones. And he started a nonprofit to promote understanding and empathy between war-torn parties. Aziz writes about creating cross-cultural connections in his book, Crossing Boundaries, A Traveler's Guide to World Peace. Aziz is back with us today on Travel with Rick Steves to look at one simple way we might find to promote better understanding across our differences, wherever we may live. Aziz, welcome back.
Thank you. Hello, Rick.
So, Aziz, in your book, Crossing Boundaries, you propose that a person of a different faith or with no faith could worship or experience worshipfully a different faith's holy place. Imagine an atheist going to a church not to take photographs of the art there, but to attend a service, or a Muslim in a synagogue. Boy, that's a whole new way to travel. And you wrote about that by sharing some pretty interesting examples. Tell us about the time your Muslim father prayed in a synagogue.
Yeah, my dad came to visit me in the States in Washington, D.C. area, and he wanted to go on a Friday to the mosque. And I sent him with an older gentleman who I thought he would have a better experience with. And when he came back, I asked him about how was his experience going to the mosque. And he said, no, we went to the mosque, but the mosque was full, so we ended up not praying there. I'm like, so where do you pray? He said, we went across the street to pray at the synagogue. I said, wow, you prayed at the synagogue, because my dad was in his 80s and grew up in Jerusalem, never been to a synagogue in his life. And he did it because he's here in the States. And I asked him what was his feeling about it. And he was so moved. He's like, this would not have happened in Jerusalem. And Jews and Muslims getting along here. And he was calling everyone in our family, like, guess where I prayed today? And they're like, well, it's a Friday. You prayed in a mosque. And he's like, nope, prayed in a synagogue. And they'll all be like, did you convert? What did Aziz do to you? Yeah. He's like, no, Muslims and Jews let each other pray in each other's buildings. And it's a small thing. And yet it was so powerful for him that he experienced being in a synagogue as a Muslim man and experiencing the hospitality of the Jewish community. It's something he didn't expect to do in the States, and it was very powerful.
Another story you tell is how you met a cute Christian girl, and she invited you to what you thought was going to be a concert, and it was actually a church service. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was my first time going to a church service. It was around the time I was studying Hebrew, and she was studying with me, and invited me. I thought she was singing in some kind of concert and then we're going to go out for a date. And instead, I was at a church service. And the first song I remember was, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And I'm like, what is happening here? But it was incredible because I still even remember the sermon. The sermon was, love your enemies.
Oh, okay. But now, as a Muslim going into a church, what was striking to you? How was it just different stylistically?
It's very different. The prayer is different. You don't have a music in a mosque. You don't sit down in a mosque. The prayer is, you have ritual. You're standing up, you're kneeling, you're going down on the floor. So it's nothing I've ever seen before. The music was such an amazing thing. I didn't expect to connect to the hymns, which it is so beautiful. But I never knew about that.
Did you look for a place to take off your shoes?
Yeah. I was surprised you didn't have to lose your shoes. You're right.
I remember a Catholic friend's parents visited me here in Seattle, and we worshiped in my Lutheran church. And for them, they didn't think it was okay. They had never done it. It was an adventure. It was stressful. And then they got in there, and well, they realized it wasn't that big of a deal at all. You know, it's interesting how we have a loyalty to our tribe, Aziz. You talked about that when it came to rooting for Iraq and the Iran-Iraq war, because... Well, why? Why did you do that?
I was a little kid. I was watching television, and I remember seeing this film about Iran-Iraq war, and I assumed Iraqis were Muslims and Iranians were infidels because they spoke Farsi. They didn't speak a language I knew. And it took my sister to sit me down and explain to me. And I was shocked. She explained to me that majority of Muslims don't speak Arabic. And yeah. that was a big surprise for me. And, you know, it's amazing you're bringing this up, because I was just thinking, it's easier for me sometimes to convince a Muslim to go to a church when they're traveling, or convince a Christian to go to a synagogue or a mosque, than to convince a Muslim who is Sunni to go to a Shia mosque or go to a Sufi thing. And probably, I don't know if it's the same, but it's probably harder to convince a Protestant to go to a Catholic service while traveling. It's kind of the thing that's close but still far is more scary.
Aziz Abu Sarah is a Palestinian Muslim raised in East Jerusalem who co-founded Medji Tours with his Israeli-American business partner. As peace advocates, they organize dual narrative tours to meet people from different sides in conflict zones. Right now on Travel with Rick Steves, we're looking with Aziz at how attending a religious service of a faith you don't belong to might be one way to promote understanding. Aziz has written Crossing Boundaries as a Traveler's Guide to World Peace. Our conversation was recorded a few months before the deadly attacks in Israel of October 7th, 2023. But you can view a TED Talk conversation Aziz had with an Israeli friend who lost his parents on that day. It's posted to his website, azizabusarah.com. And then what we're doing now is illustrating, because you're a tour operator and a tour guide, and so am I, and you're just exploring a new way of getting understanding through our travels. It shouldn't be so rare to go into places of worship in a way that's not just a tourist taking photographs, but somebody who is wants to experience it. Now, let's talk about the practicalities of visiting another religion's service or mass. What's appropriate? What's respectful? What's disrespectful? What are your points in doing this in a way that is thoughtful and constructive?
Yeah, I would first and foremost make sure it's okay with the local community. They are all right with travelers going and attending those services. In many cases, they are. In some countries, that's more complicated. Sometimes it might not be the main service that you'd be invited to, but there'll be like a lesson or something after that you can go to. Like I remember in Oman, you couldn't attend the Muslim Friday prayer, but they set up a room in the mosque for mm-hmm. the tourists to go and sit and have a conversation with someone, a woman or a man who would sit and talk to you about any questions, anything you have. And it's still a powerful experience, even though it wasn't the actual prayer. So I would check with the community, make sure it's okay, make sure they able to accommodate you being with them. That would be the most important thing. And in most places I've been, people were excited when you go and say, can I attend? Not just walk in and you know, act like I own the place, but come and ask. People were excited and willing to invite us in and happy to let us participate. I've taken groups to Sufi Zikr. I've taken groups to churches, to synagogues, pretty much all over the world, to Buddhist temples, and never had a problem.
I think most religious places are happy when somebody who doesn't understand that faith comes in a respectful, worshipful way, quiet and thoughtful, observing what are the, you know, if you wear a hat or if you take off your hat or if you wear shoes or if you take off your shoes, you know, you have to use common sense that way. But I right. find I travel a lot in Islam and I always go into the mosques and I find it's just a beautiful refuge. And I've talked to Muslim friends and they explained to me, yes, a mosque is a place of refuge where you can come and just get out of the sun and take a rest and just be thoughtful. I've been in synagogues where I was actually at the synagogue at the Tomb of Abraham in Hebron. And I thought, oh, this is such a very important place. I don't know if they want a tourist to come in, but I was not a tourist. I was a pilgrim that just wanted to appreciate the place. And people basically just kind of ignored me, and I had a beautiful moment there. One of my great experiences in TV production was in Iran. I went to the Grand Mosque in Isfahan, and it was a tense sort of situation. I was a little bit afraid. It was a huge crowd. There were soldiers guarding things, and I was just killing time while my team was filming, and I found myself comparing my Christian church service and community experience with this one. And it was so interesting, Aziz, because it was parallel. I mean, the sermon was long, and kids were restless and pulling on their dad's fingers, when can we go? And phones were ringing accidentally, and people were nervously turning their mobile phones off, and people were getting up and down, and at the end of it, people would shake hands with the imam as they left the mosque, just like we, you know, shake hands with the pastor when we leave a church service. And then there was a coffee hour. It wasn't a coffee hour, but it was a social time out in the courtyard, and the older guys would shake the tree, and little berries would fall down, and the kids would scramble, and it was just, it was a community together. And I thought, as a TV producer, I could cut this together in a way that looked menacing, or I could cut it together in a way that it looked just very inviting. And I thought the reality is much more inviting than menacing.
That's exactly why we should do it, because it's a memory that will stay with you forever. It's an experience that you cannot read about. It's an experience that you and I can talk about here, but really, unless people go through it themselves, they won't know what we're talking about. And every time I've been to one of those experiences, it's carved into my memory. It's carved into who I am. And it's beautiful as well. You know, you're talking about going to a mosque. I remember going to a Gaelic church service in Ireland, and I did not understand a word. And yet I still remember it, even though it was about 10 years ago. I still remember it. I remember how beautiful the singing was. I remember just how beautiful the church was. And like you said, like, I'm noticing every little detail of what's happening.
Yeah.
I remember going here to an African-American church, which was very different kind of service, different kind of preaching, something I did not see before, not even on television. And it was such a moving experience to be there and being asked to stand up because you are the guest. And after everyone comes to you after and being welcoming to you and saying, oh, thank you for coming. And I remember I was asked, how did you find out about our church? And I said, actually, an Israeli friend of mine told me to come to this church because he came and told me, you should go. This is an amazing church. He found it by accident. And they were so happy to hear that. And I was invited to go to lunch with them. And that's how you meet people. Often I'm asked, how do you meet people when you travel? That's how you meet people. The moment they see that you are interested in who they are as people, you're interested in their stories, you're respectful to their tradition, you're not coming trying to change them, you're not trying to convert them, you're not trying to tell them they are wrong. You're there to learn, to hear their stories.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Aziz Abu Sarah. His book is Crossing Boundaries, A Traveler's Guide to World Peace. Aziz, hearing you tell those stories, it just occurred to me, this seems like kind of a strange topic to be interviewing on, just how actually going to different religious services can be part of our travel experience, our cultural sightseeing, you could say. But so many times we kind of think, oh, that's a little bit not for us to venture in there, you know. But you break the ice and you realize, no, they're thrilled that you're there and curious. I was in a Greek Orthodox church for Easter, and the priest loved that we were there. And he took us and he gave us, he said, do you know incense? I didn't know incense, like understand incense. And he explained to us and he let us enjoy smelling different incense, that whatever he chooses creates an atmosphere for whatever he's trying to do as the priest. And I've got vivid experiences with Buddhist monks in Thailand. So many opportunities if we let ourselves be confident and bold. And I think it's fair, don't you, Aziz, just to assume that we are welcome if we're honestly curious and respectful.
That's been my experience. And if somebody says, no, this is a private, you know, we don't feel comfortable with people coming in, you're going to hear that here and there. And that's okay. That's people's right to say that. Don't let it dissuade you from trying again in a different place.
Aziz, one of the great experiences of traveling through Islam is that call to prayer when it rings out from every mosque in the town. What do you think? How does it make you feel when you hear the call to prayer?
Yeah, it's beautiful, right? I enjoy hearing it. I grew up with it. And I think for travelers, when they come to a Muslim country and they hear it, it's something they never experienced before. And they want to know what it says and they want to know what it's like and sometimes learn how and why Muslims do it. The adhan, the call for prayer is something very unique, and especially when it's done by someone who has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, I find that I've learned to really enjoy the call to prayer. To me, it's this wonderful cacophony of singing. And I know that for some people it's a little unnerving, but that's just a cultural challenge for us to to approach things with a that's beautiful point of view instead of that's scary point of view. You know, this whole conversation has reminded me that there is a lot of xenophobia on this planet. There's a lot of tribalism, and we're all part of different cultural tribes. And sort of the low-hanging fruits, the easy opportunities for us in our travels to have a transformational experience is to get comfortable in a foreign place of worship. It kind of proves that we can coexist. And that's basically the mission of your work at Mej de Tours.
And being able to explore, overcome our fear. You know, there are things sometimes maybe you're afraid to do at home. I think you shouldn't. If you don't have any Muslim friends, go to a Muslim community center and meet with people there, and you'll be amazed how welcoming. If you don't have any Jewish friends, go to a synagogue. I've been to many here in the U.S. I've always, always been welcome to every synagogue I've been to. If you have never been to a church, go to one. Don't wait until you travel far. But for those who maybe don't feel comfortable to do it yet at home, when you travel next, make that part of your experience. It is totally worth it. And as we're doing that, let's take another look at history. There are so many amazing stories of our coexistence in the past. Even in Jerusalem, when the British colonial power came to Jerusalem, the first thing they tried to do is divide Christians and Muslims. And one of the most powerful stories says that Muslim women and Christian women marched through the old city of Jerusalem and stopped at the Holy Sepulchre Church, where the Muslim woman did a talk, and then continued to Omar Mosque right across from the Holy Sepulchre, where the Christian woman stood at the minbar where the Muslim preacher usually stands and did a talk there.
Wow.
That's our history. We can learn it through travel. All these amazing stories of how we work together, we coexisted together for many, many years. We have so many good stories of our history, religious coexistence together. And we should not let these stories that talk about, oh, we always hated each other. This is not true. And we should not let these stories take hold, because it's not true. We didn't always hate each other.
That's what I'm going to take out of this conversation, is there are forces that want to keep us apart, and we are hungry to be together. And we can do that in our travels, and we can actually do that in our daily lives, and that will make the world a better place. Aziz, thanks so much for your work and your book, Crossing Boundaries, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rick. It was my pleasure.
We have web links to Aziz Abu Sirah and all of today's guests. You'll find them on our website with this week's show. That's also where Aziz explains how the golden gates to enter Jerusalem have been blocked for hundreds of years, and why the erroneous reasons given for that have been traced to tour guides. It's a short extra to today's interview that you can listen to at ricksteves.com/radio.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton, with Kasmara Hall and Donna Bardsley at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. Andrew Wakeling and Sherry Court upload the shows to our website. Sheila Gerzoff handles affiliate promotions. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. Take a look at Rick's list for what to pack in your suitcase and share tips with fellow travelers. It's part of our online travel forum. It's at ricksteves.com. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.